Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Matthew writes and says, "In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Well, that's good news, isn't it? That is such good news. "This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the message of this season. Whether it comes to us through scripture or through song or through just the decorations that adorn our sanctuary today, we thank you, Lord, that the message is that you have come near to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, whose birth we prepare to celebrate, whose return we always keep watch for. So bless us today as we hear the message of the second Sunday of Advent. Speak to our hearts, Lord, what it is we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's just be honest. How many of you saw the sunrise this morning? So a few of you got the show, didn't you? You saw it, didn't you? It was beautiful. I don't know if you can DVR those kinds of things or not, but that's a joke, by the way. The sky was blue and pink, almost like cotton candy clouds. And I was driving to this place today, saw the sunrise, and I said, "Lord, that's a good one. That's a good one." And I said, I'm hoping that what we do on Sunday morning, Lord, in worship, that you'll look at us and say, That's a good one, guys. That's a good one. So, I'm here today to tell you that sometimes in life you have to make adjustments. You know that to be true, don't you? We know that to be true in various aspects of our lives. Some of you probably are just really good cooks, or you like to bake. Just show of hands, cooks, bakers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm taking names. That's good. And if you are a baker or you like to cook, then you know that sometimes in the midst of your preparation, you taste what it is you're making, and you say something's missing. There's too much of this, or there's not enough of that, and you make adjustments. I know that many of you are crafty and like to sew. And sometimes when you're creating a garment or an item, you say, this is too long, or it's too short, or it's too tight, or it's too loose. I need to make adjustments. I mean, you actually, I think, those of you who sew, have a term, alterations, don't you? Right? You got to make some alterations. I know some of you are builders. You like to build things with your hands, whether it's a birdhouse or a piece of furniture, and you say, that's the wrong measurement. It's too long, it's too short, it's too rough. The stain is not dark enough. Have to make adjustments. Some of you have watched football games, just hypothetically speaking. And maybe your team is down 21-7 at the halftime. And you say, they better make adjustments. We know what that's like, don't we? In 12-step programs, there's a saying that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. The whole point of that quote is to remind us that in life there comes times when we must make adjustments. We're in the second Sunday of the season of Advent today, and the key theme for the season of Advent is preparation. We're getting ready for something. Getting ready for Christmas. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ. Herman knows that I often refer to Christmas Eve as the Super Bowl for the church. It's a big deal. It's one opportunity God is giving us to proclaim the message of the gospel. On this second Sunday of Advent, as we are preparing our hearts, traditionally on this second Sunday, we hear the message of John the Baptist. Now, if you're not familiar, John was a cousin of Jesus. His parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, truly experienced a miraculous birth in the birth of John. They were older, much older, unable to have children. And in their old age, God gave them John. In fact, we know the story how Mary, as she experienced her own miraculous pregnancy, the Messiah, she went and visited her cousin Elizabeth, and we're told that the baby inside of Elizabeth leapt for joy when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. We don't know much about John's childhood, but we do know that John began a prophetic ministry just prior to the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. John had a very clear and direct purpose, very clear and direct message. He came to prepare the way for the Lord. His message was very simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, to repent means to change. It means to make adjustments. It means to make alterations in our lives. It means to turn. Turn our hearts from the direction away from God and turn it toward God. That's what it means to repent. We've heard that word many times before in the past. It means to make a change. John knew that if people were going to prepare for the coming of God's kingdom, that there needed to be changes in their lives, just like there needs to be changes in our lives, in our attitudes, our words, our thoughts, our doubts, our fears. So today on this second Sunday of Advent, I want to encourage you to think about the kind of change that changes everything. The kind of change that starts in our hearts and turns us toward God. John came proclaiming the nearness of God's kingdom, and the message of God's kingdom began to attract all kinds of people. We read in verse 5 of our reading today that people went out to him, out to John from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Can you imagine all the people began to gather to hear John's message? John is considered to be the last of the Old Testament prophets. Now I realize that his message took place in the New Testament, but he's sort of a bridge between what was in the Old and what was coming in the New. His appearance was like that of prophet Elijah. His clothes were camels, made of camel's hair, and his diet was locusts with wild honey. I mean, let's just be honest, if you're going to eat locusts, you might need some wild honey. And his message was fiery. He was getting people's attention. He was waking people up. He was shaking what was into what will be. And his message was simply this: turn to God. Turn to God. Don't wait another day. Turn to God. His job was to point people to Jesus, the coming Messiah. I was using my imagination this week, and I was thinking about all the different kinds of people who must have come out to hear John give his message. And I realized, like all of us, there are probably different motivations and reasons for people to show up. People from all different walks of life and backgrounds. I have no doubt that probably in the midst of those who were gathering to hear John's message, there were people who were atheists. Perhaps who gathered and said, I don't believe a word this guy's saying, but sure is entertaining. I don't believe there's a God. Don't know how there could be. With all the suffering there is in this world, if there was a God, why wouldn't God do something about that? I have no doubt in that crowd of people that there were probably agnostics. Agnostics are people who says, well, there might be a God, but there's really no way we could ever know. That's what the word agnostic means. Agnostic, without knowledge. Not sure. There's no way we could know. I have no doubt in that crowd that there were people who were self-righteous, those who believed that they were good enough people, just as they were, good enough on their own and didn't really need a Savior. I believe that there were people in that crowd who were seekers, those who knew that something was missing in their life and they genuinely wanted to discover if there was really help out there. John's message must have reminded those people that help is on the way. I don't know if you identify with any of those categories or not, or maybe you have your own category as you hear the message of the gospel today, but I know within any given Sunday that there are people with all different kinds of walks of life and different positions and belief systems, and I realize that there are people who are part of a church for decades, some of which never given their life to Christ. I know that. So the question that I ask you is the same question that I ask myself. Do we need to make adjustments today? Are there changes that need to be made? You got time for a story? It's one of my favorite preacher stories. It reminds us of the importance changing our hearts. A young man named John received a parrot as a gift. The parrot had a really bad attitude and an even worse vocabulary, as the story is told. Every word out of the bird's mouth was rude, obnoxious, even laced with foul language, pun intended. John tried and tried to change the bird's attitude by consistently saying only polite words, thinking maybe the bird might imitate polite words. He played soft music and anything else he could think of to, quote, clean up the bird's vocabulary. Finally, John was so fed up, he yelled at the parrot. He yelled at the parrot. Parrot yelled back. Finally, in desperation, he threw up his hands. He took the bird and put him in the freezer to teach him a lesson. It's a story, okay? It's just a joke. No need to write any letters. So for a few minutes, the parrot squawked and kicked and screamed, and suddenly there was quiet from the freezer. Not a peep was heard for over a minute. Fearing that he had actually hurt the bird, John quickly opened the door to the freezer, and the parrot calmly stepped out onto John's outstretched hand. And the parrot said, I believe I have offended you. With my rude language and actions, I am sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior. John was stunned at the change in the bird's attitude, and as he was about to ask the parrot what had made such a dramatic change in the behavior, the bird said, can I ask you a question? What did the turkey do? I love that story. It's just a reminder that we all need to make adjustments from time to time. Are there changes that you need to make in your language, your thoughts, your attitude, your actions? See, repentance is the kind of change that changes everything. When we are willing to turn our heart to God, even in the slightest of ways, God's Spirit ushers in and begins to change us from the inside out. There are behaviors in our lives that we have really very little power over, things that we've tried to change all of our lives that perhaps we're struggling with even to this day, and only God's love and God's power and God's Spirit can change. It's the kind of change that changes everything. John says to those who had gathered, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, he's saying, don't just feel sorry about something, sorry enough, however, to desire a change. And when we read Luke's gospel, Luke has a more elaborate description of the conversations that took place between John and the crowd. Many in the crowd began to respond and ask John what they should do. What should we do? John said, well, if you have two tunics, give one to someone who doesn't have one. And if you have more than enough food, share with someone who's hungry. Luke tells us that the tax collectors asked, what shall we do? John told them, well, don't collect more than you're supposed to. There were soldiers there, and they asked, what should we do? John said, well, don't extort people and don't accuse people falsely. And then Luke tells us that people were expectantly waiting and wondered if John was the Messiah. John wasn't the Messiah. John was simply pointing people to the Messiah. In fact, John would tell the crowd, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. See, Jesus offers us the power for lasting change. Are there things you've been trying to change for years? Promise yourself, I'm never going to do that again. And maybe you keep that promise for some time and then you break that promise. I'm here to tell you, help is on the way. God gave us His Son to forgive us of our sin, and He gave us His Spirit to help us overcome our sin. Dear friends, it's not too late to make adjustments. It's not too late to change. I know that many of you perhaps were up late last night. I too was up late last night, driving home from the game. Rode into this parking lot at 4:15. I'm a glutton. I don't know what to tell you. My son Luke and my father-in-law and my brother-in-law drove to Indianapolis yesterday to watch the game. We had four seats about 40 feet apart. Luke and I were in one row, and my father-in-law and brother-in-law were in another row in the same section about 40 feet away. So we couldn't talk during the game, and the first half was forgettable. As the second half was about to begin, my brother-in-law stood up and just went like this to me. And I stood up to my brother-in-law and said, it's a four-quarter game. And I put in a request. It's a true story. And I just want you to know today, whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever promises you've broken to yourself, whatever promises you've broken to God, whatever adjustments need to be made that you haven't found the power, the ability to make. I just want you to know it's a four-quarter game. God's not done with you yet. Some of you may remember the movie from a few years back called The Blind Side. Sandra Bullock, the actress who won the 2010 Academy Award for her portrayal of Leanne Toohey, tells the story of how this family took in a homeless young man and gave him a chance to reach his God-given potential. True story based on the life of Michael Orr, a young man who not only dodged the hopelessness of a dysfunctional upbringing, but became the first round NFL draft pick for the Baltimore Ravens in 2009. Part of the movie that I love the best is when Leanne and her husband spot Michael walking along the road on a cold November morning in his shorts and t-shirt. And Leanne uttered two words that changed their world. She said to her husband, "Turn around." So her husband, Sean, turned the car around, and they pulled up beside Michael, invited him into their vehicle, and ultimately adopted him into their family. Those two words changed lives then, and they change lives today. We can change directions and we can begin an exciting new journey when we learn to turn around. We begin to turn toward Christ. When we ask God for help, even if we're not sure what to do, if we simply say, "God, help me." So, dear friends, whatever your situation, a great story of wonderful change could be yours with just two simple words. Turn around. May we pray together. Today, oh God, we've heard the message of John the Baptist. A very simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. We thank you, Lord, that your word teaches us that it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. That the goodness of your nature, the love that you offer, the forgiveness that you freely bestow can be ours if we simply turn to you. Not offering you a righteousness of our own, but seeking a righteousness that comes by faith. So we pray today, Lord, whatever it is we struggle with in our life, that you'd help us to make some adjustments. That you'd help us turn to you and live for you. Each step of the way, trusting that your grace is greater than our sin. We're thankful today, Lord, for the message that help is on the way. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.